Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. Going to go right into scriptures. Get your Bibles handy as we get ready to tune up and go into our subject tonight. And we're going to take our text in Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. That's Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. Call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on WWCR 5070. We're live tonight, 26th day of September. Now, we're going to be in festival beginning tomorrow evening in Andrews, North Carolina on the full moon. We'll be there when we start the Feast of Tabernacles. So we'd like to invite you over or to come down or to come up, wherever you may be, east, west, north, or south, to just drop in on us in Andrews, North Carolina. You can call this number. Let me give it to you right now. You can call area code 828-321-1010. Now that's area code 828-321-1010. Well, you, of course, you can call my number. That's 423-626-2172. And you can get directions over to the festival. Now, we're going to be there for 8 glorious tabernacle days. We're going to sit around and talk about the things that are useful and purposeful for our salvation. Now, the Bible said to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And ladies and gentlemen, if you know the cost and the price that was paid to prepare you a place, now he's got a place reserved for you, or if you are his child, if he knew you before the foundation of the world, if you were called according to his purposes. So, you see, the gospel is too foreign about a special people. Now, these people are strangers and pilgrims. That's why that you see most of those people that are strangers and pilgrims, they suffer, they hunger, some are naked, some are cold, destitute. The Bible says, of whom the world is not worthy. And yet you see, as strangers and pilgrims, we don't fit into the system of the world. And you tell me that Yahweh loves the world in John 3:16 as an original scripture? I don't think so. The oldest text, when you look into the oldest text, John 3:16, is not included in the group. Wonder why? Because it's just not right. You can believe all you want to about God loving the whole world, but that's not true. That is not true by any stretch of anybody's imagination. That was put in there by people that wanted to profit for just drag chasing or pulling anything into their assemblies to have a crowd, a number, or the coffers filled with the tithe and the offering that they take from these unsuspecting people that are promised salvation. It doesn't matter who they are. Well, let me tell you something real quick. And you, if you're a Bible student, you know this already. I don't have to tell you. But let me remind you. The Bible said, straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. The Bible also said that broad is the way and wide is the gate. Now, these wide gate Broadway people are the Broadway or the Hollywood, the Sillywood people of Christianity. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, why would you say something like that when Christians are the only one going to heaven? Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that the Bible said that there's going to be a group of people think they're going and won't go, and the people that think they ain't going, they will? This thing is so strange, it's so turned upside down and around that they're called good evil and evil good. So we've got deception major. Oh, they promise you liberty, but they themselves are servants of corruption. No wonder the children of Yah are the strangers. We don't fit in here in this world. You know, I've never fit in. I've been the square peg, if you will, the oddball out, if you will. And I'm sure that if you've studied Scripture and you stand for the truth, any semblance of the truth, you know, you start asking questions in church, you're getting out of line. You're to keep your mouth shut as best you can and listen to what they program you with. And if you have any questions, you're not to take them up in the congregation. You're not allowed to ask questions. Oh, I can ask anything I want to, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God. Do you get, I don't care what you ask, do you get an answer back that will be meat rather than milk? Most people, they take the opportunity to get milk. And the pastors, they dole out milk or ear-tickling answers. Something you want to hear rather than something that's against you. Now, we're going to talk about the appointed times tonight. And we're going to talk about what emphasis the Father places on keeping appointment. Now, remember, I just gave you an invitation to an appointment. Now, you can come if you'd like. You're free, white, and 21. And you're able to drive an automobile or, like some people, crawl in a plane and fly plumb across the country. We've got people flying in from California to attend this feast by appointment. Now, by appointment, meaning that the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 23, there's three times a year that an appointment is appointed by the signs and the times. This appointment is by the decree of the Eternal One. Well, you say, well, I don't have to do that no more. That's under the law. You see, everything that people don't want to do, they sweep it under the law, the rug of the law, and hide it. Then you get over to Christianity and, you know, well, all meat's clean. There's nothing unclean for them over there. In the Old Testament, there's things selective that you could put in your temple. And then there's things that you cannot put in your temple. Oh, you say, well, oh, Pastor Buddy, you must be out of step with the time. Over in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, glory to God, Peter got a revelation. It was a sheet let down from heaven and all them unclean beasts in it, and he told Peter to rise, slay, and eat. Peter said, not so. Therefore, when he commanded you to eat them, now remember, this is a vision, that the Bible said, that callest not thou what I have cleansed, unclean. You know what? This is a comparison of in a vision. You see, people don't understand visions. Visions are given for the support. Just like you would have a parable given to you, not understand it. Most visions are without understanding until given an interpretation. Well, Peter didn't understand that the Messiah was not wanting him to eat the unclean animals, but he was comparing the house of Israel, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had been scattered abroad among the Gentiles and had become known as Gentiles or unclean. And he was using the comparison to the two, and yet the people jump on the bandwagon. Oh, he cleaned up everything, and I can go have me a pork sandwich. Glory to God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the word is forever settled and nothing be added. And if it was unclean back in the Bible, it's unclean now because what Yahweh does, the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's done forever, and if it was unclean back then, it's never been taken off the unclean list. No wonder we got our cancer wards full of people. Did you know that that other white meat that we talk about in the Bible, pork, that they advertise as the other white meat? Well, the Bible says it's unclean. It's unhealthy. And it's not spiritually ethical to eat it. And yet people say, well, now you're living in the past. You're living under the law. And we're not living under the law. Glory to God. Well, let me give you something here. Exodus 31:13. Speak thou also to the children of Israel, saying, verily my silence you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh that doth sanctify you. What sanctification mean? It means cleanse you. Well, an appointment is a cleansing. You appear at the time appointed. It's called a Sabbath. It's called a day of rest. Well, that's under the law. We don't do that no more. Glory to God. We don't have to do it. He took that away. Well, ladies and gentlemen, did he really take it away? When he says in Leviticus 19:3, you shall fear every man his mother and father and keep my Sabbath. I am Yahweh, your mighty one. Why was it that we were to be brought up in a family union of love of our Creator and fear and respect for our parents? It don't really mean to be afraid of your parents. Fear is the word specified here as to respect. You respect them just like you would respect being in the presence of the Eternal One. Do you think you'd have any respect if the President of the United States came to your home or singled you out and you got telephone calls from the White House and you had the security team come in and secure the area and they would scrutinize you and your family and take a big hard look at you and examine what you've done and things of this nature and give you a background check? Well, you're going to have a background check, all right, but it ain't going to be by the United States government or the governments of Babylon around the world. You're going to have a security check whether you are worthy of eternal life. If you have kept the faith and the commandments, and the Bible said no new commandment we give. You see, now people say, we're not under those old commandments anymore. Glory to God. That's under the law, and I can eat pork, and you know, and I don't have to go to church and keep the Sabbath. Glory to God. Well, we've been made to think that, and the majority of Christians think that, and the Bible said there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof is death, and from such turn away. Now, if you turn away from something that tickles your ears, something that is made easy and convenient for you, air-conditioned churches, you know, they keep the temperature just right, they keep the stage lights just bright, and they highlight and glamorize and glorify those who are on stage doing their Hollywood shenanigans. You know, I mean, they come on stage. The pastors are keyed in to come in under great drum rolls of music and things of this nature to make the church look like it's on fire for God. And then the preacher gives you a little ear-tickling message after he has lifted the tithe several times out of your pocketbook. And then when enough money is collected, they add another sanctuary, another teaching class. They hire two more assistant pastors. They hire four more sister Lulus to go down and teach in the Sunday school class. Glory to God. Well, that's the world's way. But what about Yahweh's way? Well, let's go to Leviticus 19:30, as we read three there for you. You shall fear every man Yahweh, his father and mother. Respect your father and mother. Respect them to keep the appointment, because he said, keep my Sabbath. 19:30 said, you shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. So then, when the father gives you an appointment to come on the Sabbath day, a time listed, not by man, not on the walls of your calendar, where your calendars hang on your walls, not on the Gregorian calendar, not on the Jewish calendar, but in the calendar of nature above your head, in the skies, two great lights, it tells you when to come and when to cease work and went to put on the whole armor and put on your best and to appear before the Father as an appointed time. Did you know that the Father's got a time appointed for you to come before Him? They say, oh, I can go before God anytime I want to. Doesn't make it mean that God will accept you. You say, well, God hears everybody pray. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. The Bible says the prayers of the wicked, those who break His commandments, those who are not trustworthy with His word, even their prayers are abomination. Yeah, He hears the abomination. He don't hear the truth. He don't hear the command of obedience. He don't see the example. When those that said, well, we've kept all these, that you've given us, and from our youth up, and He said, well, you lack one thing yet. Get determined, get dedicated, get devoted to the cause of the Mighty One, the Eternal One, the Appointed Time One, who gave you an appointment. You shall keep them and reverence My sanctuary. You shall keep what? You shall keep My Sabbath. Now, let me tell you something. In Leviticus 23, verse 15, you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you were brought a sheaf or a wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Now, we're talking about the time of Pentecost. Remember, He said, count 7 Sabbaths after. The word after is a time set into the future, not 50 days after the festival of Passover, but it would be more like 100 days. And that puts you out in the fourth harvest, where Pentecost is really kept in the fourth season and not in the spring festival or in the early summer, at least. Because we have the second Passover to come in there. Between the first and second, there's a 30-day time period that we were commanded for those who were not clean, those who were on a journey, 30 days after the spring festival of Passover, we kept the second Passover, and you have to allot the time in there for that before you can keep a Pentecost. You see, those, if the 50-day count was right, then you'd be keeping Pentecost, if you kept the second Passover, which is the one we keep, by the way, but you would be keeping it 20 days after you got through keeping the second Passover. Well, then you would be breaking the commandment. But if you extend it 7 Sabbaths after you count 7 Sabbaths, which gives you approximately 100 days to bring in what we call the first wheat harvest. And remember, you had to offer from that grain, not grain that you had kept in store, but grain that you have reaped from the land. And it's only possible by going to the number system of the second count after 7 Sabbaths, not 50 days after the Passover in the spring festival. Now, that's a little off the subject, but it's an appointed time. But it's very important that you do it according to the word. It says, after you shall number 50 days after 7 Sabbaths. You go back and look at the wording and get into the groove. You see, many people have been deceived by anticipating or by misinterpreting the scriptures without study, prayerful intent, and cooperation with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit is trying to guide you. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh man of the carnality and the mind is weak, because the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of Yahweh, and neither indeed can they. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's very important for you to get on time with an on-time God who respects those that love Him and keep His commandments. That's the only ones He's interested in. And if you don't love Him and keep His commandments, you can get heaven off your mind. Because I'm going to assure you that heaven, if you make it there, it's going to be cheap at any price you have to pay. If you have to give your life, if you have to give your goods, if you have to give your services, if you have to give your blood of your own life, it's still cheap at any cost that it takes to put on the whole armor and to walk upright before Him and serve Him. Now, let me tell you something for sure. The Bible is forever settled and nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. And if that's the truth, then you must know that you shall number seven Sabbaths of years unto you, seven times 7 years, and the space of the seventh Sabbath of years shall be unto you 49 years. Well, how many keep a jubilee and let their land rest and don't sow? Well, Pastor Buddy, that's all under the law, and it's complicated, and I don't understand it. It gives me a headache to even think about it. And it's just too deep and over my head. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't study to show yourself approved, remember the Bereans, they searched scriptures daily to see if those things written in the law were so? Well, compare the law to the New Testament. Is the New Testament defined the law and saying you're not under it no more? Of course not. Paul said the law is spiritual. Well, could you do away with something spiritual? Of course not. That's what saves you. It's a spirit that is acceptable to Yahweh, and the carnal mind is trying to interpret and do away with it, is not. Now, let me give you a scripture here to chew on for a while about the purpose of the intention of the Father to correct you in all measures. He can't correct you unless you love Him, fear Him, and keep His commandments. If you're willing to change, if you're willing to repent, if you're willing to turn from your wicked ways, then the Bible said He will hear from heaven and He will adjust, give you an attitude adjustment, first thing. I mean, He'll give you a strong dose of humility. I know I've been there. I had to lay down everything I stood for 30 years and begin a new foundation. Isn't that strange? Here I'd trained, practiced, and prayed and fasted for 30 years before I ever got a revelation of close to approximate the truth. Well, the Bible said to strive to enter in. What if I'd have strived 40 years? Did you know Moses trained for 40 years in Egypt under the Pharaohs to learn their ways? And then he murdered a man on behalf of the Hebrews, his brothers. He felt a spiritual connection to the mistreatment of those who were being punished. And ladies and gentlemen, there is sympathy in the heavens for you if you are struggling, if you are destitute, if you are poor, if you are wretched, if you're miserable, if you're cast down, and if you're forsaken. Hold on to the appointed times of Yahweh, and Yahweh will come in at the ninth hour when you think, when you give up, when everything that around you seems a disaster. He's always on time, because He will keep His appointment. Call upon Me. The Eternal One said, Yahweh said, call upon Me and see if I won't hear from heaven and open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Well, everybody wants a new car. Well, maybe He would prefer for you walk. Maybe He'd give you a pair of walking shoes. You say, well, that's not much of a blessing. Well, it could actually save your heart. Maybe your heart needed it. It might give you a body exercise. Body exercise may be more valuable than a car. So Yahweh would know best. So if He gives you a pair of shoes, thank Him for it and hit the trail for Yahweh. And don't look back when you start. For he that looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Leviticus 25:8 again says you shall number seven Sabbaths. Well, we know how to count. You know, I believe that counting is a skill to anybody that can look up into the heavens and see the sequence of the moon cycles. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, we don't keep the moon, glory to God. We go by that counter. It's hanging on the wall. When it says Monday comes, that's Monday. Well, it's not. I'm sorry. That's Babylon. That's Babylon Monday. That may be a Sabbath day for the Father that He's appointed for you to take off on that day. You say, well, I couldn't do that. I work for General Motors, glory to God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Long after General Motors is gone, if you've kept His word and His laws and His commandments, you'll live on. But if you have joined General Motors and you love General Motors more than you love the word of Yahweh, and you fail to recognize or at least have a willing mind, then you'll be like General Motors. Long after you've gone, somebody that is obeyed will live on. Because I'm going to give you a definite here. Leviticus 26:34 says, the land shall enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lays desolate. If you don't keep the appointed times, you are going to lay desolate. Remember I gave you an analogy in the series of the creation in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, that in the beginning God created the heavens and earth in verse 1, and the earth was void and desolate and without form. Well, that's a misnomer. That is a mistranslation in the English Bible. The word there should be in the Hebrew, and the world that was created in the beginning became dark and void and fallen. You see, there's a process there. Before Genesis 1 and 1, there existed a world prior to Genesis 1 and 1 because Adam was a replenisher of that which existed before Genesis 1 and 1. And Genesis 1 and 1 is a document that written by Moses to pick up only at Genesis 1 and 1 because he would not have the permission to go back and bring out the very fact that there was an existence, a world that was created, inhabited, and became dark and void and desolate. That word became was a process. That word was a definite statement that it was created in darkness. And you know God is light. Light and darkness have no fellowship, so God could not have created the world in darkness. He created it in the light and it became dark, not was dark. The proper word, look it up in the Strong's, and the Strong's will tell you in 1961, the word is became rather than was. Well, what do we mean by that? It means that the words of appointment. You see, God had a time appointed that he created the heavens and the earth. Was the heavens and earth existing before Genesis 1 and 1? Of course they were. Because the process of time, they became desolate, dark, and fallen. Satan and his angels had already fell prior to Genesis 1 and 1, or Genesis chapter 3, where they expose themselves as agents of darkness. And the Bible said darkness and light has no fellowship, and they that love the truth will stay in the light or receive the light, and they that love darkness will hate the light. And that word there will spring the light on your understanding that there was a beginning before Genesis 1 and 1. 1 and 1 is just a pickup of what happen at the climactic end of the fallen state of an earth or a world that existed prior to 1 and 1. That point in time. Are you with me tonight, ladies and gentlemen? The land shall become desolate, and she shall enjoy her Sabbath. If you don't keep the Sabbath, the land will become desolate. You know why? And most certainly nothing taken away. Now let me give you something here. You shall offer the sacrifices that yourself, Romans 12 and 1, present yourself a living sacrifice. You say, buddy, you're exacting too much and expecting too much. Now we just can't do this. You know, you need to get in the real world. You know, I just can't do all these things. Well, unless you're willing to lay down your life, unless you are willing to put on the whole armor, you can't be a disciple. You may think you're a disciple. You may act like one. You may run the aisles and shun die a couple of times and shake and shimmy and fall on the floor and kick. But he'll give you something to shake and shimmy and fall on the floor for you when he comes in flame and fire, taking vengeance on all them that will not obey the true gospel and love him and keep his commandments and make his appointed times. Because you see, when preachers like myself get on the radio or get into a congregation where they have not obeyed the commandments or kept them, you see, we cut like a knife. We don't mean to. It's just a rule that the Bible says that the gospel is sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing asunder It divides right down to the issues of the marrow of the bone. It gets right to the cancer of the soul. And it takes a gospel to eradicate and to relieve or to cut out or cure the cancer of unbelief and disobedience and rebellion, which is worse than witchcraft. Oh, we're told not to look up at the stars and do those things which are up there in the heavens. We're not to monkey with that business. That's God's business. And if you do that, you're the devil child. Ladies and gentlemen, the Father wanted you to look up. He wanted you to see the signs of heaven. What about the signs? I gave you, the first scripture that I gave you was in the book of Exodus, and in the book of Exodus, it talked about the signs. In 2 Chronicles 31:3, he says he appointed an offering for the Sabbath. The king appointed an offering for the Sabbath. Have you appointed yourself to be offered up a living sacrifice on the Sabbath? You say, well, it's on Tuesday this month, Pastor Buddy, or I'm just going to keep that one, glory to God, because I'm waiting for Sunday to come. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan and his angels and his agents and those who have worked a transformation of Daniel 7:25. And if you don't know what it says, let me quote it for you real fast. I don't have the time to go there and read it, but I'll quote it for you. It said, they, who are they? Somebody in a conspiratorial state of mind. Somebody that's premeditated to change times and laws of Yahweh. Now, how'd they do that? They get away with the appointed feasts, the new moons, and the festivals, and the Sabbaths regulated by the moon and the sun. Remember I told you after the spring equinox, you count the days to the first new moon. And there you mark that as the beginning of the month, and exactly 14 days later, you would, at sundown, you would begin to keep the Feast of Passover. We say, well, we don't do that no more. We take a little grape juice and crackers, glory to God, and you know, we've got a sanctuary where we baptize. It's very nice and warm and convenient. And, we don't do those nature things no more, Pastor Buddy. We don't have time. Ladies and gentlemen, you know when the Messiah walked by that building that took 46 years to build, and he chased out the money changers and cleansed it? Have you ever thought about the nature of someone like him? Have you ever thought about looking in the eyes of the greatest, most mightiest, most powerful individual that this universe or the heavens of heavens, that even the heavens melted his presence? Have you ever thought about looking in his eyes when John saw the angel Michael and Gabriel? The Bible said he fell at their feet as dead. Have you ever considered falling or being presented at an appointed time in the presence of the Almighty God for judgment, as it is witnessed in the book of Revelation chapter 20, verse 12? I saw the dead stand before God, small and great, and the books were open. What are you going to do? You're going to pull out your Gregorian calendar and look at your appointed schedule of Sunday and Saturday or Friday? Ladies and gentlemen, we've been given a weekend Sabbath, but it's just exactly what I said. It's got a weekend to it. It's got a weak ending to those who are participating and are deceived by it, unless they return to the correct appointed times to fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah when he said the land had enjoyed her Sabbath for 70 years she lay desolate. Are you going to lay desolate in the presence of God when he comes with his angels in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God? The judgment is set. The books are open in Matthew 25:31. The Bible said, and those who were sheep and those who were goats stood before him, and the judgment was set, and one sat upon the throne. Oh my God, this mighty one, this Elohim with power, the eternal, who said, love me and keep my commandments and keep my Sabbaths and obey my commandments, and you shall live. Break them and you shall die. Fulfillment of the word. Fulfillment of the word is what it takes. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come. that judgment must, will, and shall begin at the judgment seat of Yah. You're now being judged by the word. But the house of Israel rebelled, Ezekiel 20:13. Oh my, the house of Israel rebelled. Well, we got the same rebelling people, the same rebelling spirits, and I told you that rebelling was worse than witchcraft. Yahweh's not looking for rebellers. He's looking for obeyers. He said, when they said, oh, blessed is this man that preaches a gospel. We've never heard a man preach like he does. And the Messiah looked them right in the eye and said, yea, but better blessed is he that heareth the word and do it. I'll liken him to a wise man that when he hears the word, that he begins to build on a solid rock and a foundation. And the Bible said, make sure your sins find you out. And the Bible said, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Do you know that the best you can do is filthy rags, and you're going to get there by the skin of your teeth by keeping all of it? And you feel like you're justifying? Listen to the scripture here. I'm going to give you a sign here. You're asking for a sign. Did you know the Bible says that Yahweh would give us a sign? Whereas opposed to when they asked for him a sign in the judgment, he said, no sign will be given to this evil generation. You see, the signs are not for an evil generation. The signs are for the righteous. The signs are the appointments and the phases of the lunar calendar made by Almighty Yahweh, never change, unchanging, eternal. And ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you one thing. If they could change the schedule of the moon, if they had power, and, you know, sometimes I'm thinking that they might just send up enough nuclear bombs to try to blow the moon out of orbit just to see as a child shooting a firecracker, trying to destroy nature around us. The earth and man and the government system has waxed so wicked that Yahweh is going to cut it short and intervene and come back and destroy them and are destroying the earth. Ezekiel 20:12. Read it with me if you will. Get in the book of, if you're studying with us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very passionate about this message. This message is dear to my heart. And I want you to know that if you love Yahweh, you will endeavor, you will strive, you will go to any expense. Listen, let me tell you something. If your little child was drowning in a pool of water that was over his head, and you could wade out to your waist and save him, you could be glad to do so. But if you couldn't swim and the water's over your head, you're going to need a miracle here of faith. Well, that's what Yahweh's asking you to do, to launch out into the deep in water over your head where perhaps you've never swam before to save yourself. And the Bible said in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 41, save yourself from this untoward generation, a generation that has cast Yahweh's truth to the ground and prospered. As the famine goes around, not for bread or water, but for hearing the word, a preacher, a prophet, a teacher, someone with enough guts and intestinal fortitude to preach you the truth and declare the whole counsel of God in the face of those that hate him, even despising those that do preach the truth. You know, we're hated for the truth. The prophet Jeremiah, the prophet Ezekiel, all of them were hated, despised. The Messiah was despised. The disciples were despised. And everybody that loves the commandments of God, Satan despises and is sent out to make war with those that love God and keep his commandments. Are you one of those that is striving to enter in straight gate? Well, then you must adjust your schedule to keep his appointments. And it's not, the Bible said that his commandments are not grievous. Oh, if you'll strive to enter in, if you'll pray, if you'll fast, if you'll seek, if you'll say, Father, help me to know what day it is. Pastor buddies tell me that Sunday's not the Sabbath. Ladies and gentlemen, Sunday is not the Sabbath. It's a S-U-N day, originated and brought forth by those who worship the sun. S-U-N, not S-O-N. What about Saturday? That's a Jewish fable, a day that they picked out that they are honoring as they are deceived themselves, not knowing the true days. Say, well, now, Pastor Buddy, you're getting on a lot of Seventh-day Adventist toes. Well, I'm getting on my own because I kept it for 20 years in the dark. Time you turned the light on and looked up at the signal in the sky and see what time it is. And when the Father says it's the Sabbath day, keep it. How do you do that? Well, it's very simple. We're going to get into that in just a moment, if time permits. Ezekiel 20 and 12. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh that sanctifies them. Now listen to me, folks. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbath as a sign. Do you love him? If it wasn't on Saturday and Sunday, if it was interfering, would you still want to keep it? Would you still want to make the appointment that the Father is as predestined, a people that are dedicated, obligated, determined, devoted, and desiring a better country? And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you that you must have on the whole armor of revelation of truth. The Bible says these mysteries that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world will come to those that will pray, that will fast, that will seek, that will ask, because the Bible said they shall truly find. And if you will, if you have the intestinal fortitude to look into the Word of God, come out of the world, come out of her, my people, to what the Bible said, and I will reveal to you the secret, the hidden things, and give you the sweet manna bread of revelation to eat and to feast on, which is hidden from the world, and the world does not have a deserving purpose to receive it. The world loves its own. He that loves the world, the love of the Father ain't in him. And would you think that the Father would tell you not to love it, then turn around and say he loves it? Well, he'd be breaking something he told you to do when he don't do it himself. Or vice versa. You see, Yahweh will not expect any more out of you than what he gives by himself. He didn't love the world. The world hated him. He said, the world hates me because I tell them the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, are you bold enough? I'm looking for soldiers. I'm looking for those who are dedicated. I'd like for you to write me tonight and tell me, Pastor Buddy, I want more information on the appointed time, the time that I am predestined to appear before Yahweh with his acceptance. You see, man has made his way and put it up before Yahweh just like Cain did. Cain was rejected. Cain was a worshiper of Yahweh. The Bible said many worship thee in vain. Well, we've got worshipers all over the land worshiping him in vain. You know why? To deny the commandments and keep the tradition. Well, now, we've done it this way for several years, and I tell you, I've been in this church for about 55 years, and I tell you what, I've seen some people in here prosper, and you know God, if God loved them, you know, or didn't love them, they wouldn't be prospering. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know that the devil can give you riches and treasures above measure? That if he's deceived you, he'll prosper you. Marvel not if the wicked prosper, is what the Bible says. And everybody bases it upon how good we've been blessed since we've believed this lie. Man, you call that blessing? You can gain the whole world with a blessing and lose your soul. What are you going to give in exchange? He won't accept all those things of the world. They're going to be burned up. Now, what do you got to give in exchange if you give all of your goods to feed the poor and have not the truth of charity? You know what the Bible said? Charity rejoices in the truth. Well, I thought it was given to the mission of foreign fields. No, it's not. You see, people misunderstand. They think, well, I give to the church, Lord, I give this, and Lord, I give that. And what they give? They give to get a nameplate on the back of a pew somewhere where they can sleep for the rest of their life when they sit in these church houses that are dead, plucked up dead, twice dead by the roots, hearing a year-tickling message as they sleep till lunch and hope that the long-winded preacher will get off of his little ear-tickling message of milk so that they can run and get the puffy pig pork ham on especially Easter Sunday. And you know what they have replaced the lamb that was to be served on Passover? You know what the general churches have replaced the lamb with? H-A-M, ham. They cook them. They spike them with toothpicks and pineapple and cloves. Oh, my God, how they dress up the ham and deny the lamb. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you a Sabbath to be a sign between me and you that you might know that I am Yahweh. But the house of Israel rebelled in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgment. If a man do them, he will live in them. That don't mean that you're going to prosper. Isaiah lived, and he's still living, but he didn't prosper in the world. They sought him asunder for his message. Ezekiel lived, but he didn't prosper in the world. They treated him very inhumane. Jeremiah lives today because he was appointed from his mother's womb to live and to preach the gospel, and preach the gospel he did. But what did he get for his result of preaching the truth? He got a prison sentence. What about the Messiah? He got a prison sentence. He got a death sentence. What about Peter, James, and John? They beat him, killed some of them, imprisoned them. But they live. And the Bible says they that remain will not prevent them that sleep, for Yahweh will bring them that live, because he that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yes, for it's a sign of those that live that keep his Sabbath or his appointed times, and it is a true promise that life is more than meat, and a man's abundance does not consist in what he has, but rather what he is. If you won't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And if you fell for any of these lies that the Gregorian church, you see, the Gregorian calendar that says it's Sunday is a man-made piece of work. Change times and deceive the very elect. Take you out of the rhythm of the Sabbath by nature. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can rest assured that the ones that live are still in it. I'll pull you in here as we go to. Finally, we get down to the book of Ezekiel, and we're going over to chapter in the book of Ezekiel, or the book of Isaiah, the one we was talking about, the great prophet. Listen to me as I read, and as I close out, what are they going to do in the day of the gathering? What are we going to do in the new kingdom? Well, let me tell you. In Isaiah 66 and verse 21, through 22, 23, and 24. And I'm going to start in verse 22. As for the new heavens and the new earth, this is when the earth has been cleansed. It's going to be all of the chaff, all of the sinners are going to be burned out of it. I will make a new earth and a new heaven, and they shall remain before me, saith Yahweh. So shall the seed of those who have kept my appointments, and their name will remain. You know why? Because their name is the Father's name. The whole family in heaven and earth is in the Father's name. That's who will remain. Only those who have taken his name and kept his appointed times. Verse 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, not from one calendar date on the wall to another, but from one new moon to the other, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh of Jacob Israel come before me and worship in the new millennial kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, only the new moon worshipers, the appointed time worshipers by the new moon, that worship the Sabbath on the new moons. Now you see, in Ezekiel chapter 46, we'll find a scripture that goes exactly like this. As we go over to the book of Ezekiel 46 and 1, thus saith Yahweh, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days. This is the formula. But on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened. And the prince shall come by the way of the porch of the gate without. And from one Sabbath to a new moon it shall be opened. Now which comes first, the Sabbath or the new moon? Well, of course, the new moon. It begins your month. Then you have a Sabbath because you work 6 days and that gate shut. Just as soon as you see the gate open on that day after the the 6 working days after a new moon. Now, what's a new moon? It's a time to reverence, blow the trumpet, and not to do any work. Let me tell you something, folks. It is a sacred time of an appointment, and Yahweh wanted you to observe it. Well, matter of fact, he wanted you to take off that day and relax. And he said, I'll supply your needs, oh, you little faith, those that think that they can't live without going to General Motors and hiring in for 18 bucks an hour. Well, you ain't going to be hard in long because all your jobs is going over to China, to India, and Wally World. You're going back to Wally World and buying all the products they make over there. And then you ride up and down the road and all of these foreign automobiles who own most of the companies here, even in America. You say, well, I got a Toyota. Yeah, but it's owned by people that build cars in America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there he goes. The Sabbath and the new moon. It shall be open on the new moon and it shall be open on the Sabbath. That's the day that you worship. There's 4 of them. 1, 8, 15, 22, and 29 is the appointed times of the time gates that I've talked about before in previous messages on the subject. If you'd like to have this in its entirety, you can call me tonight. That's area code 423-626-2172. I'll make sure you get a copy of tonight's message preached exclusively for you. Yeah, I know it's a hard message. If you want a your tickling message, please don't order. If you've listened to half of it, you see, most people can't take the heat. They have to get out of the kitchen. But it's those that can take the heat and stay in there and hold on and not turn back. These are the ones that are fit for the kingdom, and those that can't hold on and look back are not fit for the kingdom. And so many are the people that want their ears tickled. They want a smooth speech and enticing words of man's witness preached to them and over them when they die. Because, you see, they get comfort in numbers. Oh, you know, Pastor Buddy, I've had them to tell me, oh, Pastor Buddy, now, you know, we've got so many people in our congregation, you know we couldn't all be wrong like you say. I didn't say they was wrong. I just preached the gospel and they thought I was accusing. It was the gospel that cut their heart. So then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, it's not the big crowd that's going to happen anyway. You better get that off your mind. You better get straight now and get with a few. I love Yahweh and keep his commandments, and that's who's going to heaven. And remember, they're going to keep the appointed times. Because if you fail to show you're breaking his sign, the only sign given to those that are interested in going to heaven is the Sabbath sign. If you don't know how to keep the Sabbath, you write, Pastor Buddy. I'll make sure that you get enough information to save your soul and them to hear you if you will obey the gospel in that form that's there. Area code 423-626-2172. I'm live tonight on WWCR around the world on shortwave radio. This is the 26th day of September. We're going to start a festival Monday evening in Andrews, North Carolina. You're welcome to come. Now, if you'd like to write me tonight, write Pastor Buddy. Address your letters only Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Let me repeat it quickly. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's NEWTAZEWELL. New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. Now, if you'd like to email me tonight and you're listening somewhere on the downloads or wherever you may be contacting us here through shortwave, then you can email me, buddy, that's lowercase, B-U-D-D-Y, buddy1 at centurytel.net. That's CenturyTel.net. buddy1 at centurytel.net. Now, we need your help. We need your tithes and offerings to support our broadcast. Please remember us when you pray. When you go before the Father, ask him about this message tonight. It's right out of the bottom of my heart, and I'm as sincere. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach you the truth so hard. But I do love you. I care for you, and I care for your soul. I pray that the Father will shelter you, watch over you, instruct you, and guide you. And blessed is the lamp that guides the feet of the righteous to the appointed time. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you one more time, the Festival of Tabernacles in Andrews, North Carolina. Now, you'll meet great personalities there. You'll hear great, fabulous teaching. More of this, only in a more relaxed country setting. We're just old country folks. We wear overalls and brogans and things of that nature, and we're not fancy dans and all of those things that you see up at the local church on the corner. We don't have no stained glass windows. We got an old-fashioned open altar that we go to every night where we address the 12 tribes of Israel and remember them and address our heritage and have pride in who we are. And we lift up our hands as humble and humilified as we know how to thank our Father that He's revealed a portion of the truth that the world don't have. Their eyes are flying, they can't see. So if you'd like to attend the festival in Andrews, North Carolina, 828-321-1010, Dr. Jack, talk to him, or Sister Chris. They'll take your calls. Very friendly, loving, kind people. And be glad to see your shining face show up at the Festival of Tabernacles at the appointed time on the 15th day of the month. You say, well, that's the 27th. Well, that's the 15th day. You see, the full moon is always mid-month. Remember, the new moon marks your first day. Well, you see, the Gregorian calendar don't recognize either one of those. So they just chuck it and throw it out. That's why the Bible said they change times and all. So if you'd like to call me tonight, call me. I'm live. I'll talk to you tonight. I'd like to get a few calls tonight after the broadcast, and I'll take your call.